Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, hello and welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I've got my sister-in-law, Emily Jensen, here.
Hello, hello.
And let's see, if you guys are new here to Risen Motherhood, we just want to say welcome. We're super excited that you are tuning in and joining the community. We are just we're a podcast, but also we consider ourselves a little bit of a larger community as well with some online platforms and social media, just talking about gospel hope for moms and pointing moms to the resurrection, what it has to do with their everyday mundane lives. We desire here at Risen Motherhood to really encourage you in your walk. And we tackle a lot of like really just basic topics that you would think the gospel has nothing to do with, like what you're going to wear or how you get dressed in the morning, or
potty training,
breastfeeding, birth, all of those things. Our heart here is to really help to reveal how the gospel matters to what you do in Jesus Christ, and his death and resurrection transforms how you respond and how you act to all those things happening in motherhood. So that's what we're about here. We just wanted to give that brief intro to say welcome, and to also let you know, please find us over on social media. We are on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter at Risen Motherhood. We've got different content on those platforms, so please come find us on whatever medium you enjoy. We'd love to see you over there, and it's an awesome community. So Emily and I are really just blown away by the awesome moms that are tuning in and contributing to this project.
Yes, it's so encouraging.
Yes. So today we're talking about dun dun dun. We're talking about anger today. And yeah, guys, we're going to be honest. Emily and I are really nervous to talk about this topic.
Yeah. I mean, I think call it whatever you like. You can call it impatience, frustration with your kids, losing your cool, having a crabby mom day, feeling a little off. You know, I think we all have like various ways that we say this. But yeah, I think this is kind of a hard topic for Laura and I, because it's something that, as she and I have processed, we're kind of like in the middle of right now. You know, this is a real issue for us in our mothering that we are trying to fight by God's grace. And so you're kind of catching us as we are processing, but we knew that I don't think we're the only ones out there who get those moments of really frustration and impatience with our children. And so we just really wanted to go ahead and start the conversation and just share kind of where we're at and what we are learning about the way the gospel applies.
Exactly. Yeah. So know that we are, like Emily said, we are in process, and we have not conquered this. We are not perfect. In fact, this is probably one of each of our real sin issues that we deal with literally on a daily basis of asking and begging Christ for help. So I think, like, for me, we're going to kind of get pretty vulnerable here. I think
I know,
and talk about it.
Soul bearing.
I'm really, yeah, I feel kind of like a little bit shaky here, but it's okay. So I feel like, you know, for me, I tend to desire control, and I like things to go in order, to work the way that I have planned. I am a planner. So really, I don't want children. I want robots, is what I would like in life. And so when my children, you know, don't do as I've taught them or as I've told them to do, you know, kind of quickly picked up on remembering what I would like to see and the behaviors that I expect, I think that pre-kids and even with one kid, I would kind of get really quiet. I'm a really kind of talkative, chatty person normally. And I was sort of the opposite. When I would get angry, I would not talk, and I would just basically like kill him with silence, you know? And but recently, I would say, as the noise in my house has gotten louder, and I am pregnant with a third, as you guys know, and I think there's some stress in other areas of my life that I feel like are sort of out of my control. Other things, sort of like the adoption and not knowing when our children will arrive. And there are just other things. My husband works really long hours, and a lot of things in life that are out of my control that I feel like I want to exert control in my home. And as the mess grows and they are, like I said, making more noise, I feel like I have a lot more anger in the moment that is very visible and obvious. Mm-hmm. That's really been surprising me lately and shocking me. And just, I didn't know that that was in there. I guess it took two kids really bring out what was buried in there that's been really surprising and shocking to me lately. So, and what about you? Where are you at?
Totally. Yeah, I can relate to a lot of that, of just kind of what you're explaining, Laura, of looking back and not really characterizing myself as somebody who like loses their cool,
totally.
Like, gets frustrated easily. I mean, before, you know, like having nearly four kids, like I can almost not remember a time in my life where I like kind of really got worked
yes,
up,
me
you know?
Too.
And I can remember, I have this like vivid memory of sitting in a small group one time. I think we had 3 under 3. And I remember like telling someone, you know, I don't really struggle with this. Like I'm, you know, I don't know, you know, it hasn't been that bad. Cause you know, we're pretty cool and calm and collected. And I'm so thankful I'm not easily angered. And, you know, looking back, I'm like, man, that was just
the kiss of death.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can remember even too when I had one kid, kind of feeling bad for those moms who are, oh, those angry moms. I'm so glad. I'm so glad, Lord, you did not make me an angry mom. So little did I know, I literally can remember like the first day I really got so frustrated that I like lost like self-control and I was just like, you guys need to stop, you know? I was literally in labor with my fourth child. And I was like kind of early in having contractions, but I knew it was like, this is the day I'm going to go to the hospital. And one of my kiddos was like hitting another one of our kids. And I was just like, I don't know, something just snapped. And I got really upset. And I can remember being on the way to the hospital and thinking to myself, like feeling horrible. And thinking that is never going to happen again. That was just because I was in labor, you know. But really, that didn't just stop when I came home. Then there was the stress of having a fourth baby, and you know, like you were saying, Laura, like the noise just got to a level, the chaos just got to a level where it revealed what was really lurking yeah. down in my heart, which is I want to be in control. I want my preferences, and. If things don't go the way that I want them to go and they don't go according to my preference and they don't make me comfortable, I get upset. It's real. It's me now. So
exactly. So that is why we are tackling it today. Even though we're in the heat of it, even though we feel very fallen in this area, we hope that this will A, just lend encouragement to you in where you're at, that you are not alone, and B, that, it will also give you hope that you don't have to be that way. You know, as we say, kind of angry moms, you do not have to be characterized or defined by that. So we are going to talk today, as it's a two-part show. And today we're going to be talking about really just the gospel. You know, we're going to talk about where did this stuff come from? How did it originate? You know, what is deep in our souls that's causing these feelings of frustration and anger and impatience? But then what is the gospel hope? What did Jesus Christ come to do? And why does that matter for us in the heat of the moment and the anger? And then next week, we have a show coming out. We're going to talk a little bit more about that nitty-gritty stuff. We're going to be talking about, you know, kind of figuring out what's tipping you off. You know, what are some of those reasons you're getting angry? And then also just sharing a little bit more practical things that Emily and I have found to be helpful or have been told that are helpful that we are working on applying in our own lives. So many of you have asked for longer shows. We are still pretty committed to the time frame for various reasons of about 20 minutes, but we hope that this will be a good way to tackle a very large topic in a 2 week show. So definitely tune in next week if you're looking for more after this week. So the gospel.
Yes, the gospel. And you know, the other night I was reading, we were going through another kind of overarching story of the Bible with our kids. And, you know, right there in the beginning, Eve takes the bite of the apple, you know, Adam and Eve disobey God. And I was talking with my kids about basically like what they really wanted was to be like God. Mm-hmm. You know, they wanted to put themselves in that position. And as soon as that happened, obviously sin entered. And now I think that characterizes our hearts as sinners. Like yeah. we want to put ourselves in the place of God, and we want to be in control, and we want to have all the knowledge, and we want to have the right to control and be wrathful. And that is just, not only in our hearts, but you see that in scripture passed down even to like Cain and Abel.
Yeah. Yeah. You can totally look at, Cain, you know, when the Lord accepted his offering and not Abel's, he was angry about that. And he decided to administer justice, you know, in his own hands, which is essentially what we're doing. Like we have a very good example right there at the beginning of God's word about what sin did to us as humans and our relationships, fracturing and breaking them. And often we think about this as husband to wife, but this happened mother to child, you know, parent child relationships were also fractured. And so that's often what we're going to be talking about today specifically. But our frustration is the fact that we have limits and that we are not God and that we want to put ourselves in that judgment seat. And, you know, in anger, sometimes there is righteous anger. But
yeah,
Em and I are willing to bet that about 95% of the time with a mom, with most humans, it's probably not a righteous anger, or if it is, we still act incorrectly on that anger. And so, as we were starting to say, the heart of anger and frustration is often pride. And
yeah, like pride is, I think it's like a word we use a lot, you know, but I think it can be one of those things that is always helpful to me when I go back and actually think about, well, what does that really mean? And, you know, pride in our culture, we think of somebody who's like super puffed up about like all their achievements and all the good stuff that they do and kind of all the possessions that maybe they have. And I think that's like a little bit describes biblical pride, but I think what we're talking about is more like, again, rebellion against God, putting yourself in God's place and not having a right understanding of like where we belong in yep. relation to God, you know, because mm-hmm. we tend to like either equalize ourselves with God or put ourselves above God. And that is pride. And humility, which is kind of like the opposite of pride, is having a right perspective of ourselves in relationship to God, which is like, woe is me, you know, prostrate on the ground. I fear you, heavenly God. You know, I am an unrighteous sinner who does not deserve to be in your presence. And that is a humble, correct understanding of ourselves. So that's kind of like, we just wanted to pull that out because I think it's before we get into talking about pride too much, which is a lot of what's underlying to kind of say, really, it's just us thinking of ourselves as God.
Exactly. And I think in our anger, I don't know about you guys listening, but Emily and I sort of identified a few things that our anger sort of originates or produces. And I think one of the things is that we will justify that anger. So when I get upset at my children, I'll often think, well, it's because they're lollygagging. It's because they're backtalking. It's because, you know, I'm becoming my own defense lawyer and I'm, you know, sort of pretending to be the ultimate judge, which is, as we know, Jesus Christ, that's his place. You know, God is the ultimate judge. And so, you know, his power is actually revealed in our inability to provide our own defense. Like we cannot justify or provide defense for the wrong that we do, you know, when we act out on our anger. Another thing that like I definitely do is I'll be like, oh, that's not me. That wasn't me. That wasn't like who I really am. You know, tomorrow I'll be better, you know, and I'm pregnant. I've got hormones, you know, and this is just, I'm just not myself right now, you know? And that's not true either. That's prideful. You know, that is you. The anger that is coming out is your true sin nature, and you can do nothing apart from Christ. And so it's sort of, again, sort of justifying going back to that and giving yourself all the credit of saying like, I can redeem myself, you know, I'll do it tomorrow. But that's what only Christ's blood can do and not just your good intentions.
Totally. And I think it's easy to kind of get stuck there. And like Laura said, there's this really fine balance like between going oh, that's not me. And like, I don't want to own that. And then like owning it and labeling ourselves to the point where we are like so identified and so buried in it and so condemned that we are not believing the gospel. So that's why we wanted to, today, like definitely take some significant time to, talk through what our hope is, because there is hope. And, I know that a lot of times in situations like this, where we have a sin that seems to just be like incessant, or it's something that you're like, why can I not just stop doing this? It's because we do not have our own willpower to be able to overcome it on our own. We do not have the morality in and of ourselves to just do better, but Christ in us, the Holy Spirit in us, can help us overcome. And so I think we can be hopeful when we see our weakness. I'm preaching to myself right now that I can be hopeful. I can say, I am so weak, but this is why Christ died for me.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that, you know, never before have I ever seen the gospel come up more clearly than when I started to see some of these happen. And I think one thing I think about a lot is just like with Cain and Abel, like God said to Cain, sin is crouching at your door, but you must rule over it. And that means, as Emily was saying, like you can fight sin and you don't have to act on the anger that you feel. And often I think I'm sure Emily and many of you feel like Paul in Romans 7, when he says, you know, like I fail to do that good that I want to do. I know the good, but I don't have that ability to carry it out. But you know, when we admit that, when we get to that point, we don't use it as an excuse to continue sinning. We just admit our weakness and that, this is like, this anger is just a huge billboard that shows our desperate need for God's grace through Christ.
As I was thinking about like wrathful parent, I was thinking, you know, just how often, again, going back to the way that we feel like we are under wrath, you know, under God's wrath, whenever we sin against our children or we kind of lose our temper again. And so I had a little word picture here. So imagine, you know, there is a parent and there's two children, and one child is like doing everything right, like being kind, obeying right away, is like thinking of their sibling, is responding correctly to their parent. Just the picture of like sweet innocence. Like only occasionally do we see that in our children, right?
Exactly.
Like a little flicker of that. And then the other child is just being a complete and total stinker, like rebelling against everything and intentionally doing the exact opposite of what the parent asked and hitting their poor innocent sibling and stealing toys and biting and just like just a total terror. And the parent is wrathful and angry at the sin that they see in their child. And right before the parent is getting ready to just unleash like wrath on this like naughty, rebellious, stinker child, the innocent child comes forward and says, I will take that punishment for my sibling. And if you can just like imagine watching a parent unleash on a child who does not deserve it. You know, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation out in public where you've like seen a parent kind of like freak out on their kid and it doesn't look like they did anything wrong. I mean, just imagine that and how undeserving. And so like we are just like that wrathful or like the rebellious child. Mm-hmm. And when we realize like how unfair it is that Christ took that wrath and all of it, so that then when that's over, God can turn to us and go, it's over. I don't have any more wrath. Like it's all gone.
Amen.
Let's go to the park. Let's go play. And so I have to remember that is how God sees us now.
Exactly. And I think like remembering how he sees us now and knowing too that someday in eternity, we will be fully redeemed and that we won't have any more of these fractured relationships. And we can look forward to that day when there will be healing in everything that we do and that we no longer will deal or struggle with this sin, which I think gives me a lot of hope. So okay, we are hitting the edge of our time. So we will be back next week to talk about some of those practical things and really get into that nitty gritty. So we do hope you'll join us back. Find us on risenmotherhood.com for all of our social media links and lots of show notes on this topic. And we'll see you next week.